Hello, welcome to episode 5 of season 1 on the Adrian and Joe show. Here's what you need to know. It's 24 minutes of raw business analysis and change talk, time-boxed, unedited riffing with me, Joe Newbert. And as always, I'm joined by my friend, co-host and Portsmouth's most famous business analyst, Adrian Reed. How's it, Adrian? Please tell us what's up this episode.
Most Portsmouth's most famous business analyst, Joe. Your introductions keep getting better and better. I'm good. I'm absolutely raring to go, Joe. This episode, it's all about business analysis and leadership, because leading is such a crucial aspect of business analysis. We might not always think it is, but it's always there. When it comes down to making change, whether that's the options, the decisions, the consequences, the transition, the emotions, leading is about helping people through each of these really important moments.
Yeah, it is such a critical aspect. And yet I think it's also a hand that's seriously underplayed on the business analyst's part. Mm. Perhaps as the word leadership has such a managerial connotation, it's a word that feels almost exclusively reserved for people at the summit of the organization. I'm excited we're talking about this, Adrian. Who are we talking to?
Well, indeed, I'm even more excited about who we're talking to because we have a fantastic guest to talk it through with. We're joined today by Paula Bell. Now, many people tuning in will know Paula from her keynote speeches, her inspirational quotes on social media, her blogs, or her reputation as the BA martial artist. Paula is a seasoned BA leader, coach, and mentor, and I am so pleased that she agreed to join us today. Paula, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Adrian and Joe. I'm pleased to be here.
Hey, Paula. Yeah, it's great to have you here. Thanks for joining us on the show. But I've got a question before we get too stuck in. Won't you quickly tell us how the tagline BA martial artist came about?
Sure. As Adrian said, I have been speaking for quite some time now, and I started speaking as a business in the business analyst field in 2009. And what I found as I continued to speak is that the topics were great, but I wanted to bring a different perspective, bring some excitement to it. And as I was doing martial arts, I train and I teach martial arts, I had this epiphany at 2 a.m. one morning where I could mesh martial arts concepts and business concepts. And I created a whole framework about that, and I tried to find the parallels between the two passions of mine. And I was able to morph them together and make it fun, not only for myself, but for the audience that's digesting my information. And people just think karate and martial arts and being a ninja is just cool. And so I found an opportunity to bring a different twist to how I bring forth business concepts, whether it's business analysis, project management, leadership, diversity and inclusion, self-development, career development, using a martial arts twist.
Okay, and so it brings the call to BA.
Yes, yes, most definitely.
Fantastic. Paula, I can still remember, I think it was either Minneapolis or Wisconsin where you had me break that board. And the first time I didn't do it, and you said, "You've got to imagine you're hitting me." And I'm like, "I can't imagine I'm hitting you. I like you. I can't." But I, you know, I eventually broke a board, which is pretty, you know, it felt amazing. So lots of really interesting parallels.
Yes, yes.
So Paula, people talk a lot about leadership in organizations. What does it mean to you, and how would you say it's relevant for BAs? Would you say BAs are leaders?
I would absolutely say BAs are leaders. You see, leadership is not about the title, but rather the action. So a lot of people, when they think of leadership, they automatically think of manager. They automatically think of direct reports. You're leading up people that report directly to you. But that's not always the case, and it shouldn't be the case. A leader is someone who is humble and who motivates others to be their best. A leader is someone who is more concerned about those who he or she is leading than themselves. They're authentic, they're honest, they're trustworthy. And in order to be a really successful BA, there must be some respect, credibility, trust from the stakeholders that you are working with. You have to be credible. So you're leading all the time. You're leading your requirement sessions. You're leading the requirements overall to help build business transformations. I look at BAs and leaders as just kind of equivalent, just by the nature of their role. Just like a leader has a mission, a vision, and goals, so do BAs. Our mission is to promote the business analysis discipline, right? Our vision is to be a leading business analyst in the organizations that we're working in. And our goals are, one of them could be to bring your skill set to every single project to successfully build transformational solutions for organizations. And in order to do that, you have to lead. You have to get people to buy into the skill set and the value you bring to the organization and how you're going to help the organization with that skill set and value build those transformations that deliver on the organizational strategies and goals. So BAs are absolutely leaders. Even if they, if it's just in their scope of requirements, you are leading through that, and a project can't be successful without you.
That's a really, really great aspect and take on it, I think, Paula, because you know, you mentioned mission and vision there, and I think that's something that we often overlook, but it's so crucial that actually, you know, often we're working with stakeholders who have day jobs and they're busy, and we are, you know, we're leading them through change, but we're influencing without authority a lot of the time. Would you say that's true, Paula?
That is very, very true. I've been on both sides. I've been on the side where I had no authority, and I've been on the side where I have had authority. But that's absolutely true. That absolutely happens. But the thing with that, though, Adrian, is even if you don't have authority or very little authority, you can still be effective at leading. You just might need an advocate to help you lead. So a lot of times, leaders need others within the organization to help bring for the vision and the mission and the goals. And so you don't have to do it by yourself. A leader is great when they can help other people become leaders as well. So sometimes you do need that additional advocacy and help to effectively lead, especially if you don't have that authority and the person who can help you does have that authority. So it requires a little bit of creativity sometimes, even if you don't have the authority to lead.
That's really, really good. We're seeing much more of a network of people rather than individuals working together to lead. And the word responsibility and authority has come through a lot here. And what I'm hearing is that leadership is not an authority that's bestowed upon you, but it's a responsibility that you have to leave up to. I mean, gosh, I'm sounding like a meme there, but what I mean is that for me, leadership is a way of behaving, and it's a choice. So anyone and everyone can find themselves in a position to be a leader if they choose to be. And I think as BAs, we're often in that position, aren't we, when working at the forefront with project teams or with the SMEs in business operations, and with no real management authority bestowed upon us. So how do we lead in those situations? What can we do to help guide people along the right path?
What I would say, and what has worked well for me, is observation. So I actually get to know the people in which I work with and who has more influence, who might have more power or authority, who might have more respect or credibility. Because sometimes as a BA, you can find yourself coming into an organization that's very new. Nobody knows you. Nobody knows what skills you bring to the table. You haven't worked with people enough to have that credibility or that trust, but you know you are a phenomenal BA. You've got that skill set and you can lead. Because any project you've been on, you've been able to deliver it successfully regardless of the challenges. But you also have to understand as a leader, which is a huge characteristic of leadership for me, is where you're humble enough to realize that I have to grow to that level of credibility and respect before people will start trusting me. And that doesn't mean I'm an ineffective leader. It just means that I have some relationship building and work to do there. So I do a lot of observation to see who I can work with, who I can leverage, because at the end of the day, we all have the same goal. It's facilitating that change, that project, that transformation, right? We all have the same goal. How you approach it might have to be different, but we all have the same goal. And regardless of if you might need a little bit of help because you may not have that respect or credibility yet from somebody who does, doesn't make you less effective. I think it makes you even more effective because you're able to see that there might be a gap there that you have to fill, but you've observed enough to know who you can bring along with you to help you fulfill that goal. And that'll make you a stronger leader and more respected anyway.
Well, you use the word goal and bringing people along. And obviously what we're bringing people along on is a change journey. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to the words that you were dropping in there as you were talking about what you're looking for when you observe and you observe your stakeholders. And it was people, power, authority, influence, credibility, and about who influences other people in terms of sort of social networks maybe. And really, it's stakeholder analysis, isn't it? And it's looking at those people with a view to helping lead them through whatever difficulties they come about. I think it's a wonderful way to use stakeholder analysis for change management.
Agree.
Fantastic. So to segue a little bit onto a slightly different topic, Paula. So we mentioned that you're known as the BA martial artist, and I know I've been fortunate enough to see you present on that topic a number of times at different conferences. But for those of you that haven't yet had the opportunity to see you present, mm-hmm. can you share a few similarities between your martial arts practice and your BA practice?
I definitely can. So when I started martial arts a few years ago, it's been 9 years now, I really started martial arts to spend time with my twins. They're now 16-year-old boy-girl twins. So my son was in martial arts first, and the instructors were like, well, since you're going to be here, you may as well just join the class too. So I really had joined just to do it as a way to connect with the kids and spend some time with my kids. Unfortunately, my kids dropped out of martial arts when they became green belt, right? They were like, hey, I'm done. I want to do other sports. But Paula being Paula, when I start something, I have to finish it. And my goal was that black belt. I was like, I am going to go get that black belt. So as I continued to study the art, I began to realize that a lot of the teachings and the structure that we conduct in the dojo, which is the training ground and martial arts, can relate very easily to business concepts. So as I started to think about the structure of martial arts, I came up with this framework, and it's very, very simple. In martial arts, the first thing you have to learn is the foundation of the art. Why are you studying the art? What is the art comprised of? And I study Ryuku Kenpo, Okinawan Japanese karate, which is all about self-protection. So you learn about why do we do this art? Who are the founders of the art? All of that stuff. You learn the foundation, and you have to really understand the foundation before you can move into anything else. So you build that strong foundation of mental awareness, mental capacity. And then you start to learn the techniques. And the techniques is really the way you carry out the activity. So you start learning how to do punches correctly, kicks correctly. You learn how to do stances correctly and how to form your body. But then you have to show forth through testing that you actually know how to apply those techniques. That's when you move into the third part of the framework, which is the skill, which is the ability to do something well. So you demonstrate how you learned how to punch and kick. You can demonstrate those just individually. You can demonstrate them through the kata, which is forms, where you're showing how you put all of those different techniques together. You can also demonstrate them through weapons and through kumite, which is sparring or fighting. And then if you accurately show that you are really well at doing those skills, you advance to that next belt level. So you have a transformation of some sort. It could be not only the belt level, but it could be a title change depending on what belt level you're getting. And I started to think, okay, that's no different than what we do in business. The foundation for me, which is the part that we tend to want to skip over most of the time because you want to get to the good stuff, right? For me, when I go into any organization, my foundation is enterprise analysis. Mm. I need to first understand how that organization is set up. Because if I don't even understand the organization in which I work, how do I know that what I'm producing is actually going to satisfy that organizational goals and needs? And then as a BA, I then have all these techniques that I've learned, right? You can do BA planning, requirements management, traceability, all these different techniques and concepts that you have in your toolbox. The skill comes in and how you apply them. So your experience will help you get better at applying those skills and applying them correctly for the different types of projects you're on. Because in my experience, and I've been doing this for about 22 years now, I have not done one project the same. All of my projects have been different. I've done a different approach because they're all different. And then the goal is you have a transformation, which is you've led them through all this change and you've created that, whether it's a product, a process change, whatever the goal of that project was, you have that transformation. So when I start thinking about it that way, it's easy for me to approach any project or initiative that I have because those four pieces of the framework are consistent of the way I think and approach in any project or change that I'm going through. So that's how I was able to link those parallels and keep myself focused to where I'm not going off in tangents, trying to get work done.
That's really interesting, Paula. And I mean, that really resonates with me as well, because the enterprise analysis, the strategy analysis, it so often gets skipped. But then actually, if we skip it, then we can never really know if we're using the most appropriate technique in the right way. And I like the way that you draw from techniques to how we apply those techniques, because, you know, we could be the best BA in the world at writing a use case or a user story. But if we don't know enough about when to use it and the context and how that connects with other requirements artifacts, then you end up with, and we've probably all seen this, you know, you end up with a whole bunch of stuff in Jira or whatever that doesn't matter, you know, and then a whole bunch of process maps in Visio and they don't link together, you know, so that requirements architecture gets broken.
Right.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's such a great framework. And when you were first walking us through the framework, my mind went somewhere different to the example you're talking about. You say about starting a new project or the approach on a project, but my mind almost went to maturity models to begin with as well, the different levels that you can get as you advance and get better and more practiced at doing the things you need to do, and as they become more routine and more in one's day-to-day behaviors. And then I started to think with the whole belts and the promotion of color as you get better and better, how the model also works for career development in terms of learning techniques, applying techniques, and I mean, you talked about sparring. We could have techniques offs between BAs, you know, to sort of test our mettle, as it were. But it's such a wonderful framework that's just so flexible to apply to business analysis.
Yes, you can apply it anywhere. I love how you brought up, Joe, even career development, because I use this framework for career development and even self-development, just focusing on self. So you are right. It was just so eye-opening to me when I started doing karate. I don't know why it wasn't before then, but it was so eye-opening to me when I started doing karate. This is stuff that you can just take every and anywhere and use it every day. I love the maturity level thing too.
So in terms of every day, and we're talking about leadership in particular, I suppose, mm-hmm. as BAs and the techniques that there are in the martial arts dojo, which ones best cross over into the business arena? Are there any sort of, I don't know if I'm using the right terminology here, but meditations, mantras, practices, anything that we can blend into the way we think and go about our role as a leader?
Yes, I personally believe the tenets are the best skill or technique that I've taken from martial arts and transformed them over to, or paralleled them over to, the business side. And the tenets, there are five of them. And the five tenets are courtesy, integrity, perseverance, self-control, and indomitable spirit. And what I found is if I keep those five tenets at the forefront and I'm respectful to other people and treating them the way I want to be treated, which is the courtesy aspect, I lead with integrity, which will build my trust and credibility and my reputation and brand as a leader. I persevere because everyone knows that when you're going through change, there are some days that is harder than others when challenges come. But when those challenges come, you cannot give up. you still have to reach that end goal. So persevering and not giving up is essential. I have self-control because honestly, there have been times in my career where I have wanted to hit somebody because of stuff that they've done, right?
And, you're qualified to do so, right?
Right? You know, you can't do that. You want to do that. You want to go off. You want to yell. You want to scream. But you have to have that self-control and the ability to control those emotions and not really make decisions off emotions or speak off of emotions. You have to know when your emotions are so high that you need to step away and maybe have that conversation another day. So I've had to leverage self-control. And then the indomitable spirit wraps all of the tenets together, which is having no fear. You've got to walk into these hard situations and challenges that you have thrown upon you or that might just come out of nowhere and go through it with that indomitable spirit. We can do this. And especially as a leader, a lot of people look up to leaders as people that motivates them, that helps them get through, that keeps their energy high. So that indomitable spirit needs to engage, and you need to help people to stay motivated even during the dark times. There will be a light at the end of the tunnel, even though you don't see it. But that indomitable spirit is crucial. So I keep those five tenets at my forefront for all that I do when I'm leading.
Fantastic. And just springboarding from that, Paula, and I love the idea of those five tenets, but do you think there are any habits that BAs need to break? Is there anything we need to unlearn? Any bad habits we've picked up along the way?
Yes. Stop believing you are not a leader. I've done so many BA presentations where I've asked BAs, raise your hand in the room if you're a leader, and one or two people raise their hand. And I said, we've got a problem already because you don't even believe you're a leader. So if you don't believe it, nobody else is going to believe it. So you are a leader. You are leading, whether you have direct reports or not. Get it out your mind. You are not a leader. Stop believing that you don't have a voice. There are many times as BAs, and this has happened to me, when I've been in rooms where my voice has just been silenced. I've actually been in situations where people have told me not to talk in meetings. Don't let that stop you. You do have a voice, and you're an important voice on the project. Also know that you can always learn, and you're always constantly learning. So know that just because you're good now doesn't mean you stop learning. You keep learning. So don't stop. Keep learning and take time for yourself to make yourself better and to not only learn your craft, but learn who you are so that you bring forth the value and the skill sets in an even more personable and effective and powerful way.
Yeah. So that element of self-belief and self-awareness and the confidence, that spirit mm-hmm. to stand up and challenge. And I guess that goes back to the tenets of having that spirit and having no fear and persevering and, I'm really pushing through.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think even more so, leadership is when you don't have direct reports and you don't have managerial responsibility, as it were. I think you can be much more trusted perhaps when you don't have those things and be, you know, more genuine and authentic with people when you don't have those things really to sort of springboard off. Ah. And there we have the buzzer. We have to cut.
But that was like perfect though, Joe. Yeah, I mean, that was perfect. Right there.
We timed that pretty well, you know? So
yeah. Yeah, the Japanese dojo spirits are with us, I think.
Yes.
Wonderful. But I mean, it's been great having you break leadership down for us, Paula. I especially love those five tenets as well. I'm going to go back, rewind this recording and make sure I jot those down better than I have here now. I think they're wonderful things by which we can lead. So thank you for joining us on the pod.
Thank you. It's been great.
But before we go, I know that people are going to be keen to hear more, to read more, to learn more. So where can we go to get started to learn more about perhaps leadership and the parallels with the martial arts?
Sure. Well, you can definitely visit my website at www.paulaabell.com. I always am pushing out great blog information. I'm doing video casts as well with experts in different parts of the BA discipline this year. So that links you also to my YouTube channel, which is the BA Martial Artist. And then you can always find me on Twitter as the BA martial artist as well, and on Instagram. So I'm a little bit everywhere. You can find me. I'm pretty much on LinkedIn, Facebook, everywhere. But if you go to my website, you can get connected to me everywhere.
Wonderful. Thank you. We will drop all of those into the show notes so that people can click and get through to you.
Perfect.
Fantastic. Well, Paula, the only thing left for us to say is a huge thank you, Paula, for taking time out of your day to join us. And of course, thank you to everyone who's tuned in. If you have tuned in and if you have enjoyed the podcast, please do pass the pod to your friends and colleagues. And please remember that you can leave your comments on this episode over on 168.fm. But until next time, keep growing, keep learning, and see you on the next episode.